the name of Jesus. Many Ephesians were living post-cosmos. For them, there was nothing but random bits and pieces jerking around, and similarly within themselves, if there was something they could call themselves. And in the midst of all this, helpless, and sometimes quite desperate. Of what possible use then is an apostle? A traveling teacher, and there were plenty of them peddling their nostrums, some very high-sounding ones, to lift you up into the light, out of ananke, the dark, meaningless necessity. But more than utterly useless than any of these was an apostle sitting in prison. He could do nothing except write a letter. Send them some words. To the saints, the Christ believers in Ephesus. High-sounding talk is only worth anything if tied in with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Can't get much more located specific than that blood. And what it won for us, and the words which carry that to us. The first part of the letter is loaded with Christ, in him, through him, and to him, to pull everything together in him. Chapter 4 begins the second part of the letter, really getting down to earth. They're being chosen before the foundation of the world and joined in together with what the whole show is about, plays out in their everyday, down-to-earth lives. They're no longer jangling, isolated bits and pieces, but joined together. Yet not as swallowed up, but now each one precious, each one precious with the gift of how Christ joins them in, each one unique, Christ-gifted, his way. With each of us unique, love never repeats itself. The apostle rings in Psalm 68. With the kicker, he gave gifts to men. Where does he do that? Can we determine the place? If no place, then no gift. Gifts to us happen at a place and at a time. For a gift to be given, there needs to be not only a time and a place, but a gift. And there is gift when there is someone who gives the gift and someone to whom the gift is given. These three. We have just heard that it is the Lord who gave gifts to men. Now we are told of his giving the gift of those whom he sends, puts there for his giving out his gifts. Specifically, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all doing the same thing, and yet each with a title which indicates some specificity in the Lord's use of them for his giving out his gifts. The apostle goes on to tell of three such uses the Lord has with these gifts for his giving out his gifts. There's more than three, and you can find a good summary in AC 5, 14, and 28. But why these three? First answer, because these are the three which the Ephesian saints, Christ believers, needed especially to hear about. Part one, delivered a load of Christ Jesus. Part two, that working out ground level. Christ Jesus, who gathers things together things in heaven and things on earth, things within each person, things in them together in Christ. How that can run off the tracks, go awry, is shown by the admonitions. All lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Run off the tracks is not the apostle's way of saying it. He speaks of body. There's things in the saints which are not as they should be, broken, twisted, dislocated. What a doctor does with bones, setting them right, is the first good thing they need to know as gift intended by the Lord, which he gives by way of the gifts to them of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They are there for the work of the ministry, not for their own sake, as is implied by the word work, which here and in some other places is used in a way that makes it perfectly clear that the Lord is the one who is doing the work, which he does through those whom he has put there for his doing it. This we confess when we confess of the holy ministry as instrumentum secundum and the means of grace as instrumenta prima. The third thing the Lord achieves through his gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is the edifying, the fitting them together into a building. Not jangling bits and pieces, but parts put together in a building. Or more livingly together in a body. Not just any body, but Christ's body. We do not assemble the parts to make a body and then put a head on it and say, that's Christ's body. What can be rejoiced in, as in no other body, is that it is Christ's body. It is the body it is because it is his body. Whether we speak of the saints, the Christ believers, or those saints whom he has given to the saints for surely located giving out of his gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we can only speak in the way we are taught to do in the apostles' letter to the Ephesians, in him, through him, to him. Then there's no more jangling bits and pieces, just floating around, bumping into each other, power games, bigger and smaller, me against you, us against them. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen.